Be strong and courageous. Those are the words that the Lord spoke to Joshua as he was sending him across the Jordan to take possession of the Promised Land.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Where does that courage come from? From Joshua's strength? From the number of soldiers? No, from the promise. I will not leave you or forsake you. The Christian is courageous to face all of the troubles of this world, not because we're strong, not because we can resist the world and the flesh and the devil on our own, but because the Lord is with us. The Lord fights for us. The Lord keeps us through all the troubles of life into the joy and hope of the life to come.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for Christian courage at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy on us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth, and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread. that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is anything too difficult for the Lord? What God said to Abraham and Sarah as a rhetorical question expresses a key truth in this passage from Genesis and in all of Scripture. We know the answer to that question. It was not too difficult for the Lord, Yahweh, to take on the form of a man and as a man to meet with Abraham and eat the food Abraham prepared for him. It was not too hard for Yahweh to have 2 of his angels also take on human form and eat what Abraham provided. God appearing as a man in Genesis 18 is a foreshadowing of the incarnation of the Son of God about 2,000 years later. Of course, God meeting with Abraham in this way had a reason, had a purpose. Previously, Yahweh had made known to Abraham that he and his wife Sarah would have a son through whom God's covenant with Abraham would continue. Now, with this personal encounter recorded in our text, God is giving Abraham and Sarah added assurance that despite their advanced years, Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89, they would have the child promised by the Lord. This shows the grace, mercy, and love of God and his sensitivity. What an amazing meeting this was. It was so important for Abraham to have a son because according to the will of God, the messianic line, which began with Adam and Seth, would continue through Abraham. Now, in this meeting, God the Son was speaking with the man of whom the Messiah, the incarnate Son of God, would be a descendant according to his human nature. Because of their age, that Abraham and Sarah had a son was a miracle. This happened by God's grace and almighty power. What God did for them foreshadowed an even more miraculous conception and birth, that of the Messiah, who was conceived by the almighty power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Abraham probably did not know at first that the 3 men he saw and invited to his camp were actually Yahweh and two angels in human form. He might have sensed that they were important men, but how he acted with them, bowing down before them and being a generous host by providing such a fine meal, that was typical of ancient Near Eastern customs and hospitality. Such hospitality, even to strangers, was considered a sacred duty. However, when the men said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Abraham knew these were no ordinary men. As strangers, and not having met his wife, how did they know that her name was Sarah? Then, when one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son," Abraham knew that it was the Lord who was speaking. For God had previously promised this husband and wife that they would have a son. And God is the one who gives offspring. That is his business. This perception on the part of Abraham was reinforced when the Lord asked, "Why did Sarah laugh?" No ordinary man could have known this, for the Hebrew text says literally that she laughed within herself. God knows everything about the past, present, and future. Is anything too hard for the omniscient, omnipotent Lord? Was it too difficult for Yahweh to free the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, to part the waters of the sea, to provide manna and water for his people for almost 40 years in the wilderness, to deliver Jerusalem during the reign of Hezekiah from the huge Assyrian army, to resurrect Israel from the death of the Babylonian captivity? But the greatest problem God had to deal with was the sin of the world. How could the holy, just, righteous God have fellowship with people who were ruined, corrupt, filthy with sin? What about the countless trespasses which have been committed or will be committed by the billions upon billions of people who have lived or will live? How could this problem ever be resolved? Yet with God, nothing is impossible. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the descendant of Abraham, the God-man, could and did bear all the sins of humanity, and could and did make full payment for those transgressions with his suffering and with his death on a cross. Then occurred the greatest of all miracles. Christ arose from the dead as triumphant Savior, as the victor over sin, death, and the devil. With his resurrection, Jesus opened up the way of life and salvation for all people. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The message of God's omnipotence and omniscience, and also of his grace and mercy and love, is what comforts us and what we share with others. This message is what we proclaim to those who are disturbed over family issues or issues at work, who are troubled about the world situation with conflicts in various areas and different evil world forces and powers at work. We can reassure them that the Almighty God has total control of the universe and that he is directing all of history for the good of his church. We can tell them that God can and will help them through any difficulty and will give them the strength and wisdom they need. The wonderful truth is that despite the temptations, persecutions, afflictions, and trials of this earthly life, God will keep them close to Himself through His word and sacrament, take them at last to heaven, and grant them the victor's crown on Judgment Day. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That will be the truth which sustains us as servants of the Lord. Through His gospel, God can bring the hardened, blasphemous atheist to faith. He can bring reconciliation to feuding family members. He can bring true comfort and peace to a church member who is dying of cancer. He can change a floundering congregation into a place shining forth the light of the gospel. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? He takes each one of us, dirty with sin, with our weaknesses, flaws, and uncertainties, and cleanses us of our trespasses for Jesus' sake, and transforms us into His capable, able servants, used by Him in tremendous ways for the everlasting welfare of many people. Is anything too hard for the Lord? On the last day, He will raise our bodies and transform them into perfect, immortal, magnificent, glorious bodies, and join them once again to our spirits. Then God will take us, body and spirit, to live with Him forever in the new creation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
I cry to you, O Lord.
In the morning, my prayer comes before you.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with the Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all the day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
All that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
And let my heart come to you.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Gracious God, through your Son you have commanded us to love one another. By the guidance of your word and spirit, deliver us from impenitence and teach us the truth, that we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and be reconciled to one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my
Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties of life may be easy. For into your hands I commend myself, my body, soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.